Welcome to the Tech Meme Ride Home for Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. I'm Brian McCullough. Today, Microsoft has launched new lightweight AI models. Perplexity has a big new raise. Meta wants other people to build Quest headsets. Another reason Apple needs to find new revenue. And if Congress really is going to ban TikTok, are they ever going to tell us why exactly? Here's what you missed today in the world of tech. Lots of stories of trends continuing today. First up, Microsoft continues to diversify aggressively. They've launched Phi-3 Mini, a 3.8 billion parameter model that competes with GPT-3.5, and they plan to release Phi-3 Small and Phi-3 Medium versions with 7 billion and 14 billion parameters, quoting The Verge. The company released Phi-2 in December, which performed just as well as bigger models like Llama 2. Microsoft says Phi-3 performs better than the previous version and can provide responses close to how a model 10 times bigger than it can. Eric Boyd, corporate vice president of Microsoft Azure AI platform, tells The Verge Phi-3 Mini is as capable as LLMs like GPT-3.5, quote, just in a smaller form factor. Compared to their larger counterparts, small AI models are often cheaper to run and perform better on personal devices like phones and laptops. The information reported earlier this year that Microsoft was building a team focused specifically on lighter weight AI models. Along with Phi, the company has also built Orca Math, a model focused on solving math problems. Microsoft's competitors have their own small AI models as well, most of which target simpler tasks like document summarization or coding assistance. Google's Gemma 2B and 7B are good for simple chatbots and language-related work. Anthropic's Claude 3 Haiku can read dense research papers with graphs and summarize them quickly, while the recently released Llama 3 8B from Meta may be used for some chatbots and for coding assistance. Boyd says developers trained Phi-3 with a curriculum. They were inspired by how children learned from bedtime stories, books with simpler words and sentence structures that talk about larger topics. There aren't enough children's books out there, so we took a list of more than 3,000 words and asked an LLM to make children's books to teach Phi, Boyd says. He added that Phi-3 simply built on what previous iterations learned. While Phi-1 focused on coding and Phi-2 began to learn to reason, Phi-3 is better at coding and reasoning. While the Phi-3 family of models knows some general knowledge, it cannot beat a GPT-4 or another LLM in breadth. There's a big difference in the kind of answers you can get from an LLM trained on the entirety of the internet versus a smaller model like Phi-3. Boyd says that companies often find that smaller models like Phi-3 work better for their custom applications since, for a lot of companies, their internal data sets are going to be on the smaller side anyway. And because these models use less computing power, they are often far more affordable, end quote. And Zuck continues to get aggressive with VR. Meta has opened its VR OS, now called Horizon OS, to third parties and says Asus and Lenovo plan Horizon OS compatible headsets. Meta also plans to release an Xbox branded Quest, quoting CNET. Future headsets will be able to connect via the same MetaQuest app on iOS and Android that currently exists, but its name will change to Meta Horizon. Asus is making a performance-based VR gaming headset under its Republic of Gamers brand, according to the Post. Lenovo is also planning to make VR devices compatible with Meta Horizon's OS. Lenovo made the Oculus Rift S PC connected headset with Meta, and it's made lots of VR and AR products over the years. According to Meta, Lenovo's headsets will focus on productivity, learning, and entertainment. There will also be an Xbox-branded MetaQuest coming as a limited edition inspired by Xbox product, with some involvement by Microsoft, although Meta's vague on the details. There are some big changes coming to how the Quest's mixed reality software works, though. App Lab, a semi-hidden part of the Quest App Store that's been a big source of emerging software for years, is going to be a more visible part of the App Store soon. Meta is also promising an open mixed reality framework, so all these headsets and developers can start figuring out how AR-like experiences on future headsets can work better. Meta's CTO, Andrew Bosworth, hinted to CNET in a conversation a few weeks ago that Meta's upcoming AR and VR devices could start expanding into new, more focused variants. That's exactly what this move seems like. A chance to expand Meta's footprint with other brands and designs. A fitness-focused headset would also seem like a logical move, but there's no news on that front yet, end quote. As The Verge points out, this is basically an attempt to make the Quest sort of like the Microsoft of VR, quote. Zuckerberg has been clear that he wants his company to be a more open platform than Apple's. Here, he's firmly positioning Meta's Horizon OS as the Android alternative to Apple's Vision Pro, given how Android was more of a reaction to the iPhone. An analogy he'd probably prefer is how Microsoft built the early PC market by licensing Windows. Microsoft once attempted to turn Windows into an operating system for VR headsets too, with its Windows Mixed Reality initiative, but also hedged its bets by supporting Meta's first Oculus Rift. Meta's headset originally came with an Xbox gamepad when it launched in 2016, and it soon gained the ability to stream Xbox One games. At the time, Microsoft suggested it would only create its own VR headset if it had, quote, something unique to add. Meta's move has been a long time coming. In the open ecosystem, basically, you have much broader partnerships, Zuckerberg told me in an interview in the fall of 2022. So Microsoft didn't build the chips, they didn't build the PCs, they didn't build the App Store. It was all this key stuff that was developed around the ecosystem, similar to Android. And that's basically what we hope to build here, is the open ecosystem for the next generation of computing around virtual and augmented reality in the metaverse more broadly, which means that there are going to need to be all these partnerships, end quote. iPhone sales in China fell 19.1% year-on-year, giving Apple a 15.7% share of the smartphone market in China in Q1 of this year. This is continuing the narrative of Apple needing to find new revenue fast. They basically leaned on China over the last decade or so for hardware sales growth. But while iPhone sales dropped nearly 20%, the overall smartphone market in China actually grew. Quoting Counterpoint Research, commenting on the market dynamics, Associate Director Ethan Chi said, "Momentum seems to be building on a recovery as China's smartphone sales continued their growth trajectory and grew 4.6% quarter over quarter in Q1 of 2024. The sales promotions during the Chinese New Year festivities were the biggest growth driver. The average weekly sales during the 4 weeks leading up to the Chinese New Year saw a robust growth of 20% when compared to a normal week, according to Counterpoint's China Smartphone Weekly Model Sales Tracker." Commenting on OEM performance, senior research analyst Ivan Lam said, "Vivo gained a top spot this quarter with 17.4% share, driven by strong sales of the Y35 Plus and Y36 models in the low-end segment and the S18 in the mid-end segment. Honor ranked second with a 16.1% share, followed by Apple with a 15.7% share. Apple's sales were subdued during the quarter as Huawei's comeback has directly impacted Apple in the premium segment. Besides, the replacement demand for Apple has been slightly subdued compared to previous years. Looking forward, Lam saw the possibility of an iPhone recovery, however. We are seeing slow but steady improvement from week to week, so momentum could be shifting. For the second quarter, the possibility of new color options combined with aggressive sales initiatives could bring the brand back into positive territory. And of course, we are waiting to see what its AI features will offer come WWDC in June. That has the potential to move the needle significantly longer term," end quote. Perplexity has raised $63 million, led by Daniel Gross, at a greater than $1 billion valuation, up from a $520 million valuation back in January, quoting Bloomberg. The financing, set to be announced on Tuesday, doubles Perplexity's valuation from just 3 months ago. Investor Daniel Gross led the round with participation from billionaire Stanley Druckenmiller, Y Combinator Chief Executive Officer Gary Tan, and Figma CEO Dylan Field. Several earlier Perplexity backers, including Amazon founder Jeff Bezos and Nvidia, also joined the round. The Wall Street Journal previously reported Perplexity was in funding talks. Founded less than 2 years ago, Perplexity offers an AI chatbot that summarizes search results, lists citations for its answers, and helps users refine their queries to get the best responses. With an emphasis on accuracy, Perplexity has quickly distinguished its chatbot in an increasingly crowded market and earned fans like Nvidia CEO Jensen Huang, who has said he uses the product almost every day. Perplexity has processed more user queries in the U.S. so far this year, nearly 75 million, than it did in all of 2023. Perplexity, which offers free and paid versions of its service, said it's generating $20 million in annual recurring revenue. Like many other AI companies, Perplexity is now trying to boost revenue by focusing on selling AI services to businesses. The startup is announcing a new enterprise version of its chatbot priced at $40 a month, with added features including stronger security and data protection measures. Bridgewater Associates, Zoom Video, and the Cleveland Cavaliers are among the early group of businesses using the product. We want to get Perplexity in the hands of every single company in the United States. Aravind Srinivas, the company's co-founder and CEO, said in an interview, the 55-person startup remains far smaller and less capitalized than ChatGPT maker OpenAI, not to mention Google. Srinivas acknowledged that his company is competing with big sharks, but said Perplexity's edge is being nimble and designing its technology from the ground up to focus on accuracy, end quote. I'd point you back to that bonus episode from a few weeks ago that Chris and I did with Aravind. With everybody fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. I use this, and you should too. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee, so get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com. When you go through airport security, there's one line where the TSA agent checks your ID and another line where a machine scans your bag. The same thing happens in enterprise security, but instead of passengers and luggage, it's end users and their devices. These days, most companies are pretty good at the first part of the equation where they check user identity. But user devices can roll right through authentication without getting inspected at all. In fact, 47% of companies allow unmanaged, untrusted devices to access their data. That means an employee can log in from a laptop that has its firewall turned off and hasn't been updated in 6 months. Or worse, that laptop might belong to a bad actor using employee credentials. Collide finally solves the device trust problem. Collide ensures that no device can log into your Okta-protected apps unless it passes your security checks. Plus, you can use Collide on devices without MDM, like your Linux fleet, contractor devices, and every BYOD phone and laptop in your company. Visit collide.com/ride to watch a demo and see how it all works. That's KOLIDE.com/ride, collide.com/ride. Adobe has added AI tools to Photoshop, powered by its new Firefly Image 3 model, including reference images to inspire the AI's output, available in beta on desktop right now, quoting The Verge. The most notable tool is Reference Image, which uses user-uploaded images to inspire the output generated by Adobe's AI, matching similar elements in style and color. For example, instead of repeatedly tweaking a prompt description like a blue vintage truck with flower decals, users can instead provide a reference image that Photoshop will use as a guide. Prompting is a pain in the butt, Eli Greenfield, chief technology officer for digital media at Adobe, told The Verge. Why spend an hour trying to craft a three-paragraph prompt if you have an image that you've created that's exactly the thing you want to reference? The saying, a picture is worth 1,000 words, applies here. Users are expected to have the rights to use images they want to reference. Greenfield told The Verge that a message will flag this ownership requirement when the tool is first used, and that the company is working on a universal do not train tag for Adobe's content authenticity initiative that will also block images from being used as a reference. Images uploaded as reference materials won't be used to train Firefly. Despite the ownership responsibility being placed on users, Adobe says this new referencing tool is still safe for commercial use, one of the most notable advantages that Adobe claims Firefly has over rival generative AI models. Additional generative AI tools available in the Photoshop beta app include Generate Background, which replaces and creates new background images for things like product photography and enhanced detail, which increases clarity and makes images appear sharper. Adobe's third generation Firefly model, which has higher quality image generation capabilities compared to its predecessor, is also available in a public global beta for anyone to try out outside of Photoshop via the Firefly web application. Adobe says its latest Firefly model delivers photorealistic quality like never before with better lighting, positioning, and attention to detail. Firefly Image 3 is more capable than the previous Firefly model at understanding long descriptive text prompts and can produce clearer text in the images it generates, end quote. Finally today, I continue to not have a position on the whole TikTok banning situation. Plenty of folks I respect fall on both sides of this issue. But Dave Lee in Bloomberg makes a point that others have made before and that I continue to find compelling. As Congress's TikTok bill moves ahead, lawmakers kind of need to show the public on what grounds the government is banning an extremely popular and culturally significant platform. Quote, supporters of a ban against TikTok, which is owned by ByteDance, say this new technological era warrants such protectionist measures. On the cusp of a revolution that could dwarf the internet's impact, the U.S. believes that China must be shut off from developing sophisticated artificial intelligence by whatever means necessary. At the highest level, this means choking off the availability of cutting-edge semiconductors and fabrication machines. At the other end of the funnel, the vast amounts of user data and biometrics that China could harvest from TikTok represents the uranium of this next arms race. Maybe not a danger in its own right, but a critical component of a potentially more significant threat. It's a compelling enough argument, though many others have rightly pointed out that if this was China's goal, it could have saved itself a lot of time and effort by buying Americans' data from the many shady brokers happy to sell it to them. A stronger privacy law affecting all apps, regardless of their country of origin, might be a better way to protect against this. More interesting, then, is lawmakers' claim that TikTok is a coiled spring, a platform that can be harnessed at any time to exert Beijing's influence over the U.S. population, particularly its impressionable young voters. Unfortunately, the public knows little about the precise details of the security briefings representatives received before voting on the bill. One of the bill's authors, Texas Republican Michael McCaul, described the app as a spy balloon in Americans' phones. Senators called a behind-closed-doors briefing a shocking insight into TikTok's capabilities. The message is, trust us. This would carry more weight had Congress not consistently embarrassed itself on technology matters, like when a senator asked Mark Zuckerberg how Facebook makes money, or when TikTok chief executive officer Shou Chu was asked whether his app connects to home Wi-Fi. If Congress wants Americans to support its ban of TikTok, it's time to bring out the receipts. Show precisely on what grounds the U.S. is banning one of the world's most popular and culturally significant social networks. With the battle likely heading to the courts, a judge will need to be convinced that this isn't a measure that squashes the free expression of millions. And for America's position as a global leader in internet governance, transparency is imperative if this murky episode is not to cause lasting damage, end quote. As I was finishing up the script for the show today, Apple announced a special event for May 7th. It will be online, and the tagline is Let Loose, or Let Luge. Weird script on the wording there. Anyway, we're all assuming this will be for new iPads, since it includes an Apple Pencil in the announced graphic. OLED display is coming to iPad Pros. Talk to you tomorrow.